From KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Jay Barrett. Coming up this week, fishery managers are wondering where the Kodiak and Chinook tanner crab have gone to. The hatchery that burned near Petersburg is back up and running and selling salmon in the desert. All that and more on the Alaska Fisheries Report.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is supported in part by ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company.
The Kodiak and South Alaska Peninsula tanner crab fishery, usually held in January, has been called off for the third year in a row. Fish and Game Management biologist Mark Stickert in Kodiak said a survey in 2013 showed what looked like a promising explosion in tanner crab population of over 200 million, foreshadowing good fishing in the years to come.
And that was certainly our expectation when we first saw these crab, this last big pulse of crab in 2013. During the survey last year in 2014, we still saw those crab. There were a lot of them in the water, and continued to be, cautiously optimistic that a couple more years down the road that would translate into a meaningful fishery for the local fleets here. And then 2015. Although those crab are still in the water, we saw a fairly dramatic decline, so considerably fewer of them than we had expected.
He said it was tough to know exactly what has caused the population to drop down to about 40 million today, but he has a theory.
Because we are seeing recruitment, we are seeing new crab in the survey every year, it tells us the population is continuing to reproduce and still producing offspring, but what appears to be happening now is, we think through predation, they're just being eaten. So before they can get to a size that's meaningful to a commercial fishery, they're just being consumed by other critters in the sea.
And those critters, he says, are likely ground fish such as cod and halibut. As a result of the dearth of tanner crab, Stickert said there would be no fishery for them come January.
We have kind of biological thresholds, minimum abundance thresholds in regulation that are informed by our estimated abundance that we see in our survey. And if our survey estimates for abundance are below those thresholds, that tells us it's probably not a good idea to have a fishery. And so the harvest strategy tells us, it actually prevents us from having a fishery until we meet those thresholds. And so this year we were below those thresholds around Kodiak, and so there will not be a season here in 2016.
The closure also extends to Chinook and other areas along the South Alaska Peninsula. He said the tanner fishery usually attracted between 50 and 70 boats, depending on the size of the quota.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
A Southeast Alaska commercial fishing couple is headed to Oman in the Southern Arabian Peninsula. They're taking about 100 pounds of frozen wild Alaska salmon with them on a diplomatic trip to share American culture, Alaska seafood, and small business management techniques. Layla Carey talked with LaDonna and Ole Gunderson about their upcoming voyage to the other side of the world.
The Gundersons have been fishing in Southeast Alaska for decades, and they are dedicated to spreading the word about wild Alaska salmon. LaDonna Gunderson has written several cookbooks, and salmon, always Alaskan, always wild, is heavily featured. She and her husband, Ole, also have participated in the Live in Ketchikan Celebrity Chef Cooking Program produced by KPU-TV. That show is how they ended up getting invited for a visit by the U.S. Embassy in Muscat, Oman.
We received an email from the U.S. Embassy in Muscat, Oman, asking if I would be interested in coming over and sharing Alaska culture and fishing and salmon. And so when we first saw the email, we were like, this is curious.
LaDonna says she wasn't sure the email was legitimate, but she wrote back and asked for more details. A month later, they got a reply, and KPU-TV marketing manager Michelle O'Brien was CC'd on the email. Turns out,
her friend Ann Mason at the U.S. Embassy, they went to college together, I think around 20 years ago, and they were sorority sisters, and they've kept in contact. And so they were looking to promote wild salmon in Oman. So she reached out to Michelle, right?
Right.
Yeah. And so Michelle suggested looking at, say, my celebrity chef stuff I've done.
So the Gundersons knew it was legit, and they wrote back to give a resounding yes to the invitation. Once they arrive in Oman, the Gundersons' itinerary is chock full of activities. The first day is a reception with Omani tourism, hospitality, and restaurant officials. LaDonna says she did some Googling and found out
Muscat, Oman sees 4 million visitors a year.
Plus.
And they have year-round cruise ship traffic.
The Gundersons also will meet with entrepreneurs and bankers to talk about the business end of Alaska salmon fishing, and they'll host a master chef class for about 75 people at the National Hospitality Institute.
Well, the first thing that came to my mind was, don't these people understand that I cook on a fishing boat for Ollie?
LaDonna says she's going to teach the class a few different methods for cooking salmon in parchment paper and foil, seared, grilled, baked, broiled, and anything else they have time for. Later, she'll direct a kitchen full of people in the preparation of a gourmet salmon meal at the Grand Hyatt. LaDonna says there's going to be about 100 guests.
So I was thinking that because there's so many people that I would bake the salmon. You know, just go simple, olive oil, salt and pepper, maybe a little dill, something like that, and just keep it really super simple. And then I was thinking, because of our blueberries here in Alaska, I was thinking about the blueberry salsa.
And maybe baked Alaska for dessert. While most ingredients for these menu items can be found in that Middle Eastern country, one big obstacle was the almost complete absence of wild Alaska salmon in Oman.
And I had asked, I said, well, do you have wild salmon over there? Because I'm no sellout. I'm not. And they looked around in their grocery stores. They looked high and low, had the embassy on it, could not find any wild salmon at all. They could find an abundance of farmed Norwegian salmon. And then it was like, oh, no.
So they're bringing it with them.
So we went to fish from Trish.
That's a Ketchikan seafood supplier.
And the go-getter that Trish is, she jumped on the wagon and she goes, I'm in, and did everything she can. Yeah.
Yeah, she's really been helpful.
In fact, fish is already ready. We have them portioned in 6-ounce portions, individually wrapped, and we'll be taking 2 boxes with us.
It's about 100 pounds of frozen salmon, which they hope will not thaw too much during the 20-hour journey. They're also taking some smoked and canned salmon to serve during various meet-and-greet events. They're also putting together some slideshows featuring Oli's photography, and during the opening reception, they'll show the video documentary Ketchikan, A Fish Story, one of a series of films produced by the Ketchikan Story Project, an award-winning promotional campaign. They're also going to take some show-and-tell items.
Our rain gear and the boots, we're going to show them our boots. And
we even have a chunk of our net we're going to take.
Yeah, we're going to take a chunk of our net with the lead line and the cork line. And we're looking for an Alaska flag still.
We think we might have that.
During the trip, the Gundersons also get to go fishing.
First, they said that we will probably catch ourselves a grouper. It's a white fish that's similar to maybe red snapper or rock cod, but bigger. But then they told us day before yesterday that we might catch a big tuna.
They'll be busy for most of the trip, but the Gundersons hope to have a little free time to sightsee.
I guess they have camel races over there. I'd love to see the camel races.
This is their first international trip, not counting Canada. And LaDonna says it's an exciting opportunity
to learn about their culture and get to teach them about our culture. And I've been salmon fishing with Oli for 29 years. He's been fishing for like 35 or something like that. But this is like really the first time that we get to actually share it and tell it in a different way that's not America. I'm excited.
And if everything goes well, the Gundersons say it's possible they'll be invited in the future to bring Alaska salmon diplomacy to other parts of the globe. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Layla Carey.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their family. AMSEA at amsea.org or 907-747-3287.
The Petersburg Borough Assembly is supporting the possibility of a hatchery chum salmon release in Thomas Bay, on the mainland north of Mitkoff Island. The Assembly last week voted to send a letter in support of a chum release in Thomas Bay. That's one option being looked at by the Northern Southeast Regional Aquaculture Association, or NSARA. The regional nonprofit hatchery organization based in Sitka is looking for alternatives to releasing chum produced at the Hidden Falls hatchery on Baranoff Island because of poor survival rates. Hidden Falls chum have historically been an important early season catch for Petersburg's purse seine fleet, but recent returns have been just a fraction of those from a couple decades ago. Hatchery officials think whales, pollock, or other predators may be eating the young hatchery salmon before they can make it to the open ocean. Petersburg Mayor Mark Jensen made the case for supporting a Thomas Bay release site at last week's assembly meeting.
Petersburg is one of the few towns in the region that does not have an enhanced run of chum salmon located nearby. If the remote release site is approved by the state, the returning salmon would primarily benefit the seine fleet, though it is likely gill netters would also benefit. A seine fishery in Thomas Bay would allow the fleet to stay closer to home as well as attract other boats to town, which would have a positive economic benefit to the community.
The Assembly unanimously agreed to send a letter in support of the new release site. In an email, NSARA General Manager Steve Reifenstuhl writes that the nonprofit has applied for a tidelands lease and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers permit for a site in Thomas Bay. NSARA would also need a permit approval from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game Commissioner. A regional planning team will consider a recommendation on that request in December.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you by commercial fishermen for Bristol Bay, permit holders and fishing groups standing together to protect and enhance the renewable fishing jobs and businesses of the Bristol Bay region.
King salmon eggs are once again growing near Petersburg in a state-owned hatchery restored after a March 2014 fire. The Crystal Lake Hatchery, operated by the Southern Southeast Regional Aquaculture Association, has been rebuilt to incorporate new technology. The fire destroyed over a million king salmon eggs, as well as outdated 30-year-old machinery. Manager Lauren Thompson says the rebuilt facility holds cutting-edge equipment now. He said water recirculates into a chiller that keeps the incubators up to 5 degrees cooler, slowing fish growth so the salmon can be released in warmer conditions that encourage them to eat and grow. Millions of king salmon eggs are incubated at the hatchery. They are expected to be strong and healthy enough to leave by spring 2017.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
And that's all for this week's Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from KRBD's Layla Carey in Ketchikan, and both KFSK's Joe Vicknicki and Angela Denning in Petersburg. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Jay Barrett.